If you take your scriptures and turn with me to a couple places, we're going to do a little bit of Bible thumping tonight. And for those of you who don't know what that means, we're just going to go through the Word of God and see what God's Word has to say about a particular subject. And unfortunately, my laptop went out, but thank God for paper. Paper never goes out. Amen. All right. But if you'll take your scriptures and turn with me to the book of John chapter 7, and we're going to highlight verse 37 through 39, Acts chapter 1, verse 5. And Acts chapter 1, verse 8. If you're any student of the Word of God, you know exactly what I'm talking about tonight. We are talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How many of you will agree that there's nothing better than being filled with the Holy Spirit? Oh, just a couple of y'all. How many of you will agree that there is nothing better than being filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm going to read just Acts chapter 1, verse 8 for the sake of time, and we'll reference the other two texts throughout this teaching tonight. But this is actually a verse that I encourage each and every single one of you to commit to memory. If you don't have it memorized by now, you should memorize it, especially if you call yourself Pentecostal. You should definitely have this verse memorized. But the scripture says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world." Another translation says, "And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." My teaching tonight is simply entitled "Your Best Friend." Look at your neighbor and say, "Your Best Friend." God willing, I'll be able to do a series on this with you all, but tonight's installment is entitled "Filled with Power." Filled with power. You know, if you know anything about cars, you know that one of the best street cars that was ever made was the Mustang. Okay, the Mustang. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay, a Mustang has to be by far one of the most nicest cars that's on the road. I mean, it just screams attention when it's on the road. But having been a fan of Mustangs, you know, I realize that when I look at them, not all Mustangs are created equal. You know, there's a V6 Mustang, and then there's a V8 Mustang, the famous V8 Mustang known as the GT 5.0. And then there's a V6 Mustang that's out there that's a 3.7 liter engine. And what I realized about these two cars is that both these cars look alike. They look exactly alike, but under the hood, there's a world of difference in power. You see, both these cars have the same aesthetics on the outside, but with one glance under the hood, you'll realize that there's a world of difference. There's a complete world of difference. You see, both of these cars may have similar features, but with one turn of the key, there's a different sound. There's a different authority. If you've ever heard a V8 engine roar, a V6 don't roar like a V8 engine. When you turn on a V6 Mustang, you get a nice brrrr. But when you turn on a V8, you get a brrrr. There's a stark difference in authority. And with one rev of the gas pedal, you know very well who's the V8 and who's the V6. You see, both these cars have the same name, Mustang, but only one truly executes what it was meant to be. What it was meant to be. You see, being filled with the Holy Spirit is very similar to this, church. You know, your hair doesn't change to lightning bolts when you get filled with the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, I was telling the young adults, when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, I think I went more bald. Okay, but something does happen inside of you. Your life is definitely changed. If I can illustrate this like the Mustang, there's a different sound. There's changes that are made. The authority changes. There's something unique about you. And the way that you execute the name of Jesus in witness and manifestation is starkly different. Church, there's a difference when you're filled with the Holy Ghost. There is an absolute difference. You see, being filled with the Holy Spirit is being filled with a life of power, having the power of God flowing through your heart. We move from this place of just mere display to now a life of demonstration. You see, church, there's a Christianity that's content with just being on display. But then there's a call that God has called us to. And it's to be a people that demonstrate who Jesus is, who God is in this world. The Bible says it like this, and Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 through 5, and you probably heard this verse a million times, but it's powerful nonetheless. He says, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human intellect, but in demonstration." Underline that word. Commit that word to your heart and your soul as we enter into this new year. Because if there's one thing that I've been praying for you as the body of Christ, is that we would walk in a ministry of demonstration. That we would walk in a ministry where we are touching the sick and they are healed. Where we are casting out demons and setting people free. Friends, let me tell you something. That there's no greater level of compassion ministry than deliverance. Setting people free. Setting people free who have been bound for years. He said, but in demonstration of spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Simply put, and I like to translate it like this, is that we move from novelty to the real deal. You see, I want to move from a novelty type of Christianity. You see, a V6 Mustang is novelty. It's for the person that they want to own a Mustang just to have the name Mustang. But I don't want to just have the name. I want the sound. I want the authority. I want to be what I was meant to be. You see, when Henry Ford envisioned a Mustang, he didn't envision a V6. He envisioned a pony car that would be a Camaro killer. He envisioned something that would keep up even with some Corvettes. You see, he envisioned something that would be competitive. He had a vision in mind. And friends, can I tell you that Jesus has a vision in mind? He didn't call us to be a church that just sit back and do nothing. He didn't call us just to have these big facilities and do nothing with it. He didn't call us to just have great songs and great music. He didn't call us to be novel. He called us to demonstrate who he is, that we are in this world as he is. This is who he called us to be, a people of spirit, a people of power, the real deal. Look at your neighbor and say, the real deal. You see, I want to talk to you tonight about my best friend, and I thought it no better way to entitle this series than to call it my best friend, because truly, church, the Holy Spirit is the difference maker in our lives. How many of you can testify of that tonight? The Holy Spirit is the difference maker. You see, after being saved, I really believe that the greatest gift that God has given us is the person of the Holy Spirit operating inside of our lives. Friends, I can go through line by line of there's been times where I've been lonely and God has been there and he's whispered in my ear words of encouragement through the person of the Holy Spirit. There's been times where I didn't have the words to pray and all of a sudden I just started to speak in tongues because that's all I could do. That groaning, that groaning from deep within. Friends, let me tell you that if you have learned to live life without the power of the Holy Spirit, then you are already dead. The power of the Holy Spirit is the difference maker in your life. How many of you want the difference maker? I want the difference maker. You see, how awesome is God? How awesome is God that he would never leave us alone? How awesome is God that he would install this V8 engine inside of us so that we could be what we've been called to be, so that we could live as we've been called to live, to be the people that he's called us to be. And tonight, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about, that life filled with power. Now, my message is very simple tonight. But it is a message that's nonetheless very relevant, because we could talk about every little single thing on earth. But if you are not living under the power and the demonstration of the Holy Spirit, then you are missing your purpose. We've been called to do it like Jesus. We've been called to think like Jesus, to walk like Jesus. And friends, I can't do it without the Holy Spirit. I can't do it without the Holy Spirit. The first thing that the baptism of the Holy Spirit does in our life and what it means to live a life filled with power is, number one, that we are baptized with the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:5 says this, "And John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." You see, church, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you readily obtain the fullness of God inside of your lives. You see, when you and I receive this gift, and this is a secondary gift after salvation, this is something that we seek. When we receive this gift, we readily obtain the fullness of what God has for our lives, of what Jesus intended us to be. You see, Jesus spoke about this fullness. He talked about this and he stressed it. I told my young adults like this. It's the difference between being a sponge and running it through water and you might get a little wet, and being a sponge and sinking it in water and you're saturated. You see, God wants you to be saturated with who he is. He wants you to be filled with who he is. You see, Christ wants to live within our hearts, not only through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but to saturate our entire being. He wants to affect the way you think. He wants to affect the way you see things. He wants to affect your experience when you walk into work, where all of a sudden things are not as though they always are. God starts to show you stuff. It's called prophetic ministry. You see, being baptized in the Holy Spirit gives you access to a fluidity of prophetic ministry. What does that mean? It means that you get to do what Jesus did. What's a prophet? A prophet is one that speaks on behalf of God. He declares the works of God. And friends, your life, our life, my life has been called to speak of God, to testify of God, to exemplify God. How many of you want to exemplify God? I want my life to exemplify God. Look, whether you're at work, exemplify God. If you're in your home, exemplify God. If you're in your neighborhood, exemplify God. How awesome would it be if you're outside cutting your lawn one day and all of a sudden your neighbor, he's distraught, and God just gives you a word of knowledge, and you go up to that neighbor and you begin to say, hey, I don't know what it is, but I just sense something deep in my heart. Is this going on in your life? And he's just wowed by it, not for the sake of being wowed, but because of his name. And all of a sudden he says, who are you? What are you doing? And you say, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ. And right there, you get to witness prophetic ministry unto him. Friends, that's what I want. The normal course. You see, when you're filled, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, life just isn't the same anymore. It's not. It's not. No, there's not some magical power that hits you. But something changes inside of you. Friends, I remember when I first got filled with the Holy Ghost. My life drastically changed. My hunger, my thirst, my desire for God drastically changed. It wasn't just this passing time. You see, there's times where, you know, my flesh tries to rise up inside of me, but then the Holy Ghost inside of me starts to remind me. And friends, I remember when I was just trying to do it without the Holy Spirit. And I used to be able to fight that off. But when God saturated my life, life just wasn't the same anymore. You see, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, there is this unlimited supply of unlimited potential to what you and I can accomplish in the things of God. There's an unlimited supply. You know, I will never downplay or downgrade the genuineness of ministries, of those ministers or Christians who are not filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, God can use anybody. God can use anybody to preach. God can use anybody to pray over the sick. God can use anybody to write a good book or something that will impact you. There's thousands of preachers around this world that are not filled with the Holy Spirit, that I believe that they have an effective role in people's lives. But are they living to what they've been called to be? You see, Jesus called us to be filled. He called us not to just walk in a part, but in the whole. And I go back to my illustration of the Mustangs. You know, when you buy a V6 Mustang, it really does, you know, come off with an impressive 300 horsepower. That's impressive. That can whoop a lot of cars on the street. I don't endorse racing. But, you know, it really could. It really could. It's impressive. 300 horses is impressive. And when I was reading about the V6 Mustang, yeah, you can tweak it and you can do little things to it and you can put headers on it. But after all the tweaking that you do to that Mustang, the max of potential that you could probably get to it is maybe about 420 horses. But right off of the assembly line, a V8 Mustang with a 5.0 engine comes with a shocking 460 horses. And when you change the headers, when you add a supercharger to it, when you completely revolutionize that car, that thing can go up to 1,000 horsepower. I was watching some videos on YouTube that they were so strong that even some of them lifted up off the top of the ground. Friends, I don't want to be just the type of Christian that can do tweaks here and there. I want to be the type of Christian that lives to the potential of what God called me to. That has something inside of me that can access all of heaven, not just a piece of heaven. Now, let me put it to you like this. I don't just want to preach good. I want to heal the sick. I don't just want to write a book. I want to see the dead raised. I want to see people's lives who are bound set free. You see, I want to operate in the graces of God so that we can touch the lives of hurting people. Friends, let me tell you something. I want to live to the potential of what God has called me to, but it cannot happen without the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We need to be filled. You need to be filled. We need the Spirit of God saturating our lives and our hearts. Friends, let this be a year where you are more hungry for God than you've ever been. Where you are more thirsty for God than you've ever been. Let a reformation begin to rise up inside of your heart, where there is a thirst that's birthed inside of you, where you begin to move to this place where you're fed up with the dry and the weary land. You see, even as I've been praying over some people in the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit was showing me that there's some of us that we've just been in a dry and a weary land, and I thank God for the rains of refreshing that he's been bringing to the house of God. But friends, let me offer you a word of encouragement. If you want to keep it at refreshing and if you want to move into the flooding, you've got to get your hunger up. You've got to get to this place where you never allow the thirst to die. And friends, it will not happen if we allow ourselves to dwindle in our cry for more and more of the Spirit of God to come and fill our lives. If you've not been filled with the Holy Spirit, I pray tonight that you would receive the Holy Spirit. This is the greatest gift for you. Number two, living a life with power means that there's a constant flow of God in your life. A constant flow of God. Look at Acts chapter 1 verse 8 again. The scripture says, but you shall receive power. Let me say receive power. You see, underline that verse. I like to underline verses in my Bible. And these are just things that kind of like stick out to me. Because I hold on to these things. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And I like this part. He says, and you shall be witnesses to me. You shall be witnesses to me. What is a witness? What is a witness? Somebody just shout out real quick one word, what you say a witness is. What's a witness? A testify. What else? How good God's been. Anyone else? To tell a story. Anyone else? What's a witness? To tell people about Jesus. Say it out loud. One word. An example. Anyone else?
The reflection of his glory.
Amen. Amen. A witness. A witness, by definition, is someone who testifies or gives evidence of the fact. Someone who testifies or gives evidence of the fact. You see, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is evidence of who Jesus is. When you walk into your job and you tell people that you're Christian, you see, we live in an age where words are not enough anymore. We live in an age where it's not enough just to tell somebody that I know about God. There's a lot of people that say, I know about God. We need examples. We need witness. We need it to be seen. We need it to be evident. We need it to be visual. This generation is screaming out for the visual. And friends, God has been giving us the visual for over 2,000 years. He said, but you shall receive the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit. In other words, God doesn't just give you the Spirit. You see, this is what being a witness means. He doesn't just give you the Spirit just so that you can speak in tongues well. No. You're going to speak in tongues. You're going to. If you're afraid of tongues, don't be afraid. No. It's a beautiful gift. Plus, when you come and you seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're not seeking tongues anyways. You're seeking that God would come and fill you. And don't be upset if God gives you a paragraph. I remember when I first got filled with the Holy Spirit, the person next to me had a whole paragraph, and all I had was a syllable. And I was like, wow, God. But the more you seek him, the more he fills you and he starts to fill you. And it becomes a prayer life inside of you. Don't be upset. But he doesn't give us the baptism of the Holy Spirit just so that we would have a greater prayer language or a greater worship life. All those things are part of it. Friends, there's nothing like worshiping in tongues. I'm being for real. There's some times I'm being serious where I don't have the words to say. And I just start singing in the Spirit. I just start singing in the Spirit. It's a beautiful thing. But he didn't just fill me with that so that I could just sing in the Spirit, so that I can just have a greater worship experience. He filled us so that we would be walking evidence.
Yes. Tell it.
Walking evidence of Jesus.
Yes.
There's another phrase that's used in the New Testament, and I love it. It's the word fragrance. Let me hear you say fragrance. You know, fragrance is very powerful. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 through 15, Paul says, "Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." You know, this passage of scripture became so evident in my life last year when I was waiting for Josh, and I was supposed to take him somewhere, and he was running a little bit late, and I was running late to where we both needed to be. So I left. And I left, and he had gotten there, and he calls me up and he goes, "Yo, bro, where are you at?" And I go, "I left already." And he says, "You couldn't have gone too far." And I go, "What do you mean?" He says, "Because I can still smell you in the room." So I said, "Bro, what do you mean? I stink?" And he goes, "No, your cologne. I can smell your cologne in the room." But it stuck on me because, you know, when you have a preacher's mind, you just kind of hear that. You're like, illustration. I said to myself, wow, what a powerful illustration of what it means to walk in the power of God. Because when you're walking in the power of God, when you're walking in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, God puts his fragrance all over you so that when you walk into a room, it permeates and it saturates that atmosphere. Even so much so that when you leave that atmosphere, his presence and his fragrance is still there. It's still there. Friends, let me tell you something. You can have such a residual impact on your job that even when you're not at work, lives can still be impacted by the power of the Holy Spirit. When I worked in the secular world, I had started a Bible club in the job that I was working at, and I remember that while we were at that Bible club, you know, we started with, you know, about one or two people, and then we were able to get it to about maybe seven or eight people at that time. And I remember one day that I was talking to these young ladies in one of the cubicles, and we were talking about this Bible study, and about three or four cubicles down, all of a sudden we start hearing this young lady cry. And you know, when we hear this whimpering and this sobbing sound, we come out the cubicle and we, you know, head down about three cubicles. And I ask the young lady, and I say, "Is everything okay? Is everything okay with you?" And she goes, "I don't know what it is, but whenever you guys get together, I just feel such a brokenness come upon my life." And she started to cry.
Yeah.
And right there, I started to minister to her. Me and I used to work with Anika, a friend of mine, and we just started to minister to her right there. And the power of the Holy Spirit came upon her life right there. She accepted Jesus in her heart right there. But that fragrance was so rich that even when I left that job, that Bible club still continued. Fragrance stays. It lingers in an atmosphere. And friends, that's the type of power that we are called to walk in, where the fragrance of God saturates and fills a room. Fragrance is evident. You can smell it. It becomes real. In John chapter 7, verse 38, Jesus says something so powerful. He says, "Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." You know, when I'm praying for people to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this is almost my go-to passage. Because I pray, I say, "God, you said that out of their belly or out of their heart would flow rivers of living water. Let it flow. Let it flow." You know why I pray that passage? It's because whenever we talk about water, You see, in Scripture, water and the Holy Spirit are synonymous. They're one and the same, because it speaks about the revitalizing and the refreshing nature of who the Holy Spirit is. And if you haven't gotten the gist of what I'm speaking about tonight, the Holy Spirit is refreshing. He's revitalizing, not only to you, but to atmospheres and environments that you walk into. And I pray for that flow of that water, because that word flow is so powerful. You see, the word flow means to circulate. It means to issue or proceed from a source. It's something that never stops. You know, this became so real to me when I was on up north this past winter, and I had to go twice to help out my grandmother. And we went to this place called The Falls up in New Jersey, in Paterson, New Jersey. And at this place, the first time that we went in November, the waterfalls were doing exactly what waterfalls are supposed to do. They fall. the water kept flowing. It kept flowing. The second time that I went up there with my wife and my kids, and you know, I wanted them to experience this beautiful sight. It's kind of like a mini Niagara, okay? And this time I thought it was going to be different, because now it was about 3 degrees. And I said to myself, surely the ice had overtaken these falls. But when we went to the falls, guess what the falls were doing? They were still falling. The ice was there, but it was still flowing. Friends, can I tell you that when you have the Holy Spirit operating inside of your life, no matter if it's an icy season or if it's a regular season, you are going to continue to flow, because that is who He is. He flows. He flows inside of our lives. You see, church, we've never been called to be stagnant. We've never been called to go through roller coasters. We've never been called to have one season up and one season down. He shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water, which shall always prosper. Whether you're going through the scorching season or whether you're going through a season of prosperity, when we have the Holy Spirit operating inside of our lives, we are called to flow. Look at your neighbor tonight and ask him, are you flowing?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
You see, being filled with the Holy Spirit, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it means following the direction and the leading of the Holy Spirit. This is what it means to flow. You see, flowing is not rogue. I'm going to say that again. Flowing is not rogue. Flowing is not, you know, well, I don't need to go to church today because, you know, I got the Holy Ghost inside of my life, so I can have church at home. That's not flow. That's a flaw. There's a difference. Okay? You need to flow. You see, when you're flowing, you have a sensitivity inside of your heart. You're more receptive. You're more sensitive to the move and the direction of the leading of the Holy Spirit. You see, this flowing allows you to operate in what's called the gifts of grace, or the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When you have an attuned ear to what God is doing in an atmosphere, all of a sudden, God will manifest His Spirit as He wills through you. Friends, let me tell you that God didn't just call pastors to move in the gifts of the Spirit. God didn't just call a couple of people to move in the gifts of the Spirit. You have been called to move in the gifts of the Spirit. You have been called to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. There are hearts and lives that need to be touched and transformed by you, God working in you.
Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead.
But you got to flow.
Go ahead.
You see, before you walk into any situation, God already knows what needs to be done. He already knows. Before you came to church tonight, God already knew what needed to be done. When you go home tonight, God already knows what needs to be done. Should the Lord choose to tarry when you go to work tomorrow morning, God already knows what needs to be done. But are you flowing? Are you flowing? You see, there are lives and souls that need the grace of God through the gifts in you to display the love and the saving work of Jesus Christ. What greater way to show the love of God than to manifest who He is in the physical?
That's right. Thank you. Go ahead.
What greater way? In closing, living a life with power means that there is an awareness of a greater reality. You live under a constant awareness of a greater reality. Let me say it like this, is that the Holy Spirit reminds us that we can do all things because his operation in our hearts and minds show us that Jesus has already done it. Jesus has already done it. You see, there are pent up miracles in heaven. There are pent up operations of grace in heaven waiting to rain down in our situations. I mean, they're just there. God has storehouses in heaven of miracles, of signs, of wonders, of words, of decrees, of things that he desires to do. I mean, they are there.
Yes, yes, yes.
But if we are not walking with this awareness inside of our heart, we are forfeiting such a great potential. Such a great potential. Look, church, that's what it means to truly be a witness. That we have boldness because we're fixed on the reality of God.
Yes.
You know, author Bill Johnson, preacher Bill Johnson, he says something I thought that was very powerful some years ago. He said, we will respond to life with the reality we are most aware of. I'm going to say that again. We will respond to life with the reality we are most aware of. Now, what he wasn't saying was that we don't ignore the reality of the physical. That's not what he was saying. When someone's sick, they're sick. When someone's hurting, they're hurting. But what he was saying was, is that if our reality is heaven, if we are seated in heavenly places, and our heart and our mind is fixed in the heavenlies, then we are truly tapping into the voice of God, because if the voice of God is living inside of us, will he not cry out on earth as it is in heaven? Will the Spirit not cry out from deep within us the words of Jesus Christ? Isn't that what Jesus said in John 16? That he will testify of me. He will speak of the things that I have said. And he screams within us on earth as it is in heaven. So that when you walk into situations and you see what looks more like earth rather than heaven, there's an antithesis inside of you that says, I'm not satisfied. I must be the opposite of what's happening. There's sickness here, so healing must be manifested. There's demons here, so the kingdom of God must move forward. There's issues here, so peace must manifest. Friends, I believe this. I am sold on this, not because I'm fixated on a fantasy, but because I believe what the Bible tells me. And the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm sorry, he's still healing the sick. He's still saving the lost. He's still casting out demons. He's still setting the bound free. I still believe this. I still believe this. The voice of the Spirit of God in us is on earth as it is in heaven. You see, the Holy Spirit reminds us because he speaks of Christ. He is the witness of Christ in our lives. He puts the influence of God inside of our minds so that we're walking in transformation, and it shifts us and it begins to shape the way that we look at things. As I ask the worship team to come down, I wrap it up with this one sentence. God, he wants you filled. He wants you filled. God wants you flowing. And God wants you on fire with the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes, yes.
He wants you on fire. Church, I'm praying for us to catch the fire, to fan the flame, to be a church like never before. Man, let me tell you something. I want to go into this year. I know the enemy's been trying to take some of y'all out, but I want to walk into this year with a fire like never before. I know Satan's been coming in like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, but he can't win, because not only do we have the armor of God, but we've got this Holy Ghost inside of us. And let me tell you that with the power of God inside of us, I stand on what the Word of God says, that if God be for us, who can be against us? church tonight, we need to be a people on fire. A people on fire. I thank God for the move of His Spirit during the worship service. It was just such a reminder of what I believe He wants to do for the rest of us, for the rest of this year. But tonight I want to talk to two people tonight. Number one is, if you are not filled with the Holy Ghost, we want to pray that you would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, I didn't convey this message as a salesman. I conveyed this message as someone who walks in this reality. I share this humbly with you, church. I cannot do it without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I cannot do it without the Spirit of God inside of me. There's times where I don't have the words to say or to pray, but deep calls out to deep, and His Spirit begins to cry out with groanings and utterance that are too deep for my words. And He begins to remind me in my spirit what He's saying. He begins to speak an interpretation in my mind as He begins to renew my soul with His love and His grace and His mercy. Look, I'm not going to twist your arm to receive this. If you want it and you have the faith to receive it, the presence of God is in this room. He's been in this room from the minute that first key was struck. He's been in this room. His presence has been here. The invitation is set to you. So as we make these altar calls, and I'm going to give the second one in a moment. As we make these altar calls, if you have never, ever received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in your life, I just want you just to come to this middle section so that we can identify you in specific, because we want to help pray for you. Listen, we're not going to do nothing strange or weird. We just want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. And all we ask is that you would surrender to Jesus. As you come up here, I'm just going to help you out a little bit. As you come out here, don't come saying, God, give me tongues. Just say, God, I need you. I need more of you in my life. Worship Him. Worship is the connection between heaven and earth. And just begin to tell the Lord, Lord, I love you. I worship you. I exalt you. I adore you. You are everything to me. I need you in my life. I need more and more of you in my heart. And as you begin to worship Him from your heart, just listen. Listen to the voice of the Lord just moving upon you. The enemy may try to tell you, no, that's emotions. That's just being super emotional. Listen. You're seeking God, and He's a good Father. He wants to give you this good gift because He promised this in His Word. So tonight, as you have people up here praying for you, and if I got a couple of Spirit-filled believers that will help me come and pray, just come and pray for these. And if you've not come up here and you need to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm asking you tonight. The invitation is here for the rest of you, church. If you want to walk in the refreshing and the revitalizing power of the Holy Spirit, I just want you just to come down to these altars. Just lift your hands to heaven and just begin to say, Holy Spirit, I welcome you in my life, in my heart, in my walk. Come and fill me, Lord. Come and fill everything inside of me. Church, tonight, can we fill this place with worship? Can we fill this place with worship?